Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. We are bringing back a much requested guest today. Caitlin is here to share all about her trip to Singapore and Indonesia. And I didn't share online about the trip because while she was on the trip, they'd requested that no one post on social media. And so y'all are getting to hear first news stuff that has never been shared online. Probably you're going to hear stuff that I haven't heard yet, and I'm excited for her to get to share with us. So first off, Caitlin, why did you want to go on this trip? Because you had multiple trips to choose from, and you, I think this was for sure, by and large, your very top pick when you got the paper, came home from school that had all of the different trips that you could go on during Week Without Walls. You were like, I'm going to Singapore. That's where you wanted to go. Why did you want to go on this trip?
I've never been to Asia before, so that was something that I really wanted to do. And obviously, a lot of my friends were going, so I think that played into it a lot.
I think you were really excited to experience Singapore.
Yeah, Singapore was probably what I was most excited for, because I thought at the beginning, I thought that we were going to be spending the majority of the time there. I ended up being wrong. But Singapore was probably the driving force of why I wanted to go, because Singapore is just such a cool country.
It's also very far away. And I didn't even realize, I wasn't paying close enough attention until it was very close to your trip, that you had a 17 and a half hour flight from, where did you, flew from Nashville to then San Francisco to then Singapore on the way there. And it was a 17 and a half hour flight. And you had an interesting experience on the way there, because you were flying from Nashville to San Francisco, and that was a 5 hour flight, correct?
Yes.
And it was booked pretty closely to when the 17 and a half hour flight was taking off. You were supposed to have 2 or 3 hours in between. Is that correct?
We were supposed to only have an hour in between. So it was already pretty tight for an international flight. Normally you want at least 2 hours for a layover, flipping or switching to an international flight.
So you find out, once I dropped you off in Nashville, got through security, and then find out that the flight from Nashville to San Francisco was delayed.
Yes.
And I think it was delayed by 3 hours is what they said at first.
Yep.
And so you knew right off the bat that there was a good chance that you were not going to make that flight. But then it was up in the air, pun fully intended, I guess, for a number of hours as to whether you were going to make it. And first you weren't, and then they changed the flight time, and then it was only going to be 2 hours delayed. And then they had called ahead, and the people on that flight said that they would hold it for you, because how many people were in your group? 30?
Yeah, about 30.
And so you guys thought then when you landed, you were going to have a very tight window. Did you have to just rush as quickly as possible?
Mm-hmm. So basically what they said is, we're going to let you guys off of this plane first. We'll make an announcement that you can get off the plane first, and then you can run to your gate and we'll hold the plane for you. And so that's what happened. Everybody got up, and they didn't end up letting us off first. We were in the very back of the plane, so we got off last, and then we ran to the gate, and the people at the gate were like, oh, that plane took off 30 minutes ago. And they were laughing at us because we had just ran across the airport. And so our leader was not very happy that they were laughing at us, because we were a group of 30 people who were basically stranded in San Francisco. And so that's obviously not a very ideal situation. So we were all kind of frustrated, but everybody handled it really well. We just kind of, we played volleyball in the terminal, because it was a really big terminal. It was completely empty. And so we were playing volleyball, and like, we had our hacky sacks, and we were just hacky sacking, and it was pretty chill. We were just kind of all praying that we managed to get on a flight tomorrow. But
and The other thing was, this was in the middle of the night.
Yes.
I think you called me at 2:50 in the morning. Actually, you called me multiple times. I had told you before I went to bed, I will have my phone on, so just call me if you need me in the middle of the night. And then for some reason, I did not hear. Then you called me 5 times before I finally got woken up by my phone. I did have it on, but it was in the other room. So in the middle of the night, you are not sure what you're going to do. Are you going to be staying at the airport all night? And then will you even be getting on a flight the next day? Or are you going to be stuck at the airport all day waiting to get on the flight? Will only part of you be able to get on the flight and the rest of you not? There were just a lot of unknowns, but it ended up working out much better than I would have imagined. I think some people, I don't know, pulled some strings, God answered some prayers, and then they ended up putting you up in a hotel and then getting you all on a flight the next morning. I think it was 10 a.m. Is that what it was?
Yeah. So they put us in a hotel. We were only at the hotel for 3 hours because we got to the hotel at about, I want to say 3 a.m. and then we had to leave at 6. And so we slept for about 2.5 hours, but it felt like 10 hours because we were so tired. And we all Ubered to the airport the next morning. We weren't sure because there was a 10 a.m. flight and there was also a 10 p.m. flight. And we knew for sure that we could get on the 10 p.m. flight, but they said maybe we could get you guys on the 10 a.m. flight. And we were just really hoping that we could get on that 10 a.m. flight because of some circumstances that if we had gotten on that 10 p.m. flight, one of my friends wouldn't have been able to go with us. She would have had to fly home because of some health things. And so we were all just really praying that we could get on that 10 a.m. flight. And we got there and we checked our tickets and they said, you're on the 10 a.m. flight. We didn't have seats, but we were on that flight. Who knows how, but we managed to get on that flight. And whenever we got on the flight, they were like, hey, we have 30 too many people. We have enough seats for everybody, but it's too heavy. I don't really understand how that worked, but they ended up kicking 30 people off the flight. They kept us, but they kicked 30 people off. And so because of that, there were so many open seats that we could basically just move around and get comfortable, which was really nice.
So what did those other people do? They had to get on the 10 p.m. flight?
I guess. It probably wasn't too much of a hassle for them because they had that 10 p.m. flight, so they could just wait.
Wow. Okay. So the wonderful thing was, is that they had actually planned that you guys were going to have a full day to just kind of adjust to the time change. And then it ended up that you were supposed to get there in the morning and then have all day and then go to bed that night, where you were on 12.5 hour time zone difference.
Yeah. Correct? So we were supposed to get there in the morning, and then the trip was supposed to start off in Indonesia. So we would fly to Singapore and then take a boat to Indonesia. Take a ferry to Indonesia. But since we got there at night, we ended up spending the night in the hotel in Singapore. It was a very nice hotel. So we got great sleep, hot showers. It was amazing. And then the next morning, we ended up taking that boat, that ferry to Indonesia.
And so I felt like it ended up working better because when you got in, you were exhausted, correct? And then you went right to bed.
Yes.
Versus getting in and then having to take a boat to Indonesia and stay up all day. So that worked out well. Mm-hmm. So you stay in this really nice hotel in Singapore, and then you take this boat to Indonesia. And what was it like when you got to Indonesia?
It was muggy. It was very muggy in Singapore too. Super humid. You just feel all sticky all the time. But Indonesia was beautiful. It was so green. That's the first thing I noticed, is it was so green. So much vegetation, so much nature, and it was really cool.
And you stayed right on the water.
Yes, we took a boat ride to our private island that we were staying on, and we were staying in, what would you call it?
There's got to be a word for what the houses or lodging
they were,
was
like, but
huts that were on the water, that were on stilts in the water. Yeah. And the entire place where you were staying, everything, from what I could tell from the pictures, it was all on the water. None of it was on land. Is that correct?
Yes, everything was on the water. It was an eco resort. So all of everything, there was no air conditioning, all open air huts kind of.
How did the water work? Because there were showers, correct?
There were showers. I don't know how the water got there, but whenever you would take a shower, there was the flooring was just wood and you could see straight down into the ocean. And so whenever you would take a shower, the water would just fall right into the ocean.
So I'm assuming they were taking the water out of the ocean.
Yeah, probably.
And it was,
I don't know.
It was warm, correct?
Nope.
It was cold.
Yeah, cold.
So they're just taking it straight out.
Yeah.
And like then we putting it right back in.
You couldn't, whenever you're brushing your teeth, they're like, do not drink the water.
Yeah. So that's what I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. That it was the kind you needed to use water bottles for brushing your teeth, correct? Or did you, they let you put the water in your mouth from brushing your teeth?
They didn't tell you to use water bottles.
Okay. Because certain people with certain kinds of water, when we've traveled places, they are very strict about you always use bottled water for your mm-hmm. toothbrush, because they said even a drop of water or if water splatters from the shower into your mouth, you could get really, really violently ill from it. So that's interesting that they just were like, don't swallow it. So then you, that day, you didn't go to the villages. You had a sort of survivor challenge.
Oh my goodness. That was really annoying, because we got to the village, or we got to the island, not the village, and it was set up. The people there, I don't know how to describe this. They catered to groups like us.
They have, from what I understood, they have groups just come in. That's what they do, is have mm-hmm. groups come in. So I think right before you guys got there, they had a group, and right after you left, they had another group. So this mm-hmm. is what they do.
And so we got there and they were like, you're going to have a little bit of time. Meet us all on the beach, be wearing your swimsuits, and you guys are going to build rafts. And so we were like, we just want to lay on the beach and relax. We've had such a busy past couple of days, and it feels like we've been traveling for a week. But ended up being okay. They gave us a bunch of supplies and ropes, and we split off into four teams, and they were like, hey, this is how you tie the knots. And it was pouring rain. And it was hot and muggy and gross, and we were all really tired, but we tied those knots and we raced those boats and my team won. So,
and you said that it ended up raining, at least in Singapore, you said it rained every single day.
Yeah.
Did it also rain every single day in Indonesia?
Yes. It wasn't always rainy, but like there were times where it was really sunny out, but at least one point in the day, every single day it rained.
Was it the rainy season, or it just rains like that year round?
I have no idea.
Interesting. So then the next day you went to the village, which you again had to take a boat to get to the village, correct?
Yes.
And you were building, your team was building a wall in this village because they've been having some flooding. And so you got to do that and help with that, as well as get to know the people in the village. I saw from pictures, you, a lot of the kids played with the little kids, learned how to do crafts and some of the different just village life things. You were there for 3 days, were you mm-hmm. in the village? And so what was your favorite part of being in the village?
My favorite part of being in the village was just helping build the retaining wall. That was the main thing that we were doing. It's not necessarily because of flooding. It's more, well, the tides are slowly getting higher and higher, and because of that, the water is seeping into their houses. And so we were just helping mix concrete and make that retaining wall. And that was my favorite part. I wasn't really good at talking to the kids. There was a really big language barrier. They couldn't speak English at all. And so we had translators with us, but I spent most of my time working on that wall. There were girls who were amazing at talking to the kids and not even talking, just interacting with them and communicating through their actions. But that's not my gift. And I discovered that very quickly. And so I spent most of my time just working, and I found joy in that.
I also was thinking how most all of the teenagers on the trip don't have young siblings. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And so they're not used to spending a lot of time around little children. So mm-hmm. it's from some of the pictures, you could see that it just brought them so much joy to get to hug and hold the children and play with them and all mm-hmm. that. Whereas you're like, I do this all day, every day.
Yeah, I think that honestly has something to do with why I wasn't able to communicate them, because I'm so used to communicating a certain way with kids, mm-hmm. Especially my own siblings. And my closest friend, she also has a really younger sister. Her sister's about 5. And she was kind of in the same boat that I was of struggling to communicate with them and decided to just work on the wall and work hard at that instead of wasting her energy doing, well, not wasting, that sounds bad.
Well, I think it was more, you are just so used to, if you've been around certain children, and you spend a lot of time around them, you're used to, this is the way you communicate with them. So then it feels odd to go talk to another child who can't speak the language and you can't use the usual, oh, let's play this game or let's do this thing or the silly way that we interact. You don't have that. And so it feels just maybe more awkward than if you aren't used to that and you're kind of starting from square one, you could more figure it out or something.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But you enjoyed doing that. Also, from the pictures, it looked like it was very hot.
It was extremely hot. But for them, they said that it was cold. Mm-hmm. Like, girls were walking around in Sherpas, which was crazy. It was scorching heat. And most of the time that we were on the island, it would be whenever it was the hottest time of the day. It would be around 12. And so the UV is the highest. It's the hottest. And as soon as we got back to the island, where our resort was, it would start raining. But while we were there, it would be super sunny. And so a lot of people just got so burnt.
And maybe they planned it so that you would be there when it probably wouldn't rain, because otherwise it would have been impossible to work on the wall if it were raining.
Mm-hmm. There was one day that it started pouring rain, but it ended up being okay.
And so you learned how to mix cement. And did you end up laying any of the, was it bricks or stones for the wall?
No, I was just a mixer and I filled the buckets.
And you had to go get water fairly far away, mm-hmm, to bring. And so there was a lot of just hauling of buckets.
Yes.
Did you eat any interesting foods while you were there?
Not when I was in Indonesia. I ate some really cool foods when I was in Singapore, though.
Okay. So then you left. You were there for, were you in Indonesia for 4 days or five?
I think we were there for four.
I know you had, well, the day that, it's the really day that you had Survivor, and then you were in the village, I think, for 3 days. And then you did the hike the final day. So I do think you were there for five.
Okay, then yeah, I don't know. Everything's just kind of jumbled together. Yes.
And I was probably had a better timeline than you, because one, I wasn't dealing with jet lag, but then also we had a WhatsApp group for all the parents, and some of the chaperones who were on the trip did a very good job of sending pictures and updates of basically a play-by-play of the day. So as parents, it was great because we got to see all these videos, all these pictures, hear about their day in real time versus having to wait until you get home and have forgotten a whole bunch of different things. So then you got to take a hike and go, do they call it, is it jungle?
Yeah, we were in the rainforest.
Okay. And you did that and then came back. And then the next morning you took a boat back to Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I took away from what you've talked about, your time in Singapore was probably some of your favorite part of the trip.
Yes.
And so then you got to do some really cool things when you were in Singapore.
Yeah. So, well, I want to talk about the last day because the jungle hike was very memorable.
Okay. I don't know if you want to talk about that. So
we took a boat to, I don't really know where it was, but it was the jungle. And we did about a 3 mile hike to this really pretty waterfall and just a jumping spot that we were able to swim in. And it was beautiful. But on the way back, one of my friends sprained her ankle. And so we were delayed about 45 minutes because we had all walked ahead of her and she was kind of behind cleaning up with some other people. And so she was back there and we were all up ahead waiting for her. And while we were waiting, it obviously was the last day. It was scorching hot. It was the hottest it had been the entire time. We were all so tired because it was the way back and we had already hiked all the way there and kind of wore ourselves out swimming. And so we found a spot to sit down. And I was kind of behind with three of my other friends. And while we were walking, we got to see some monkeys fight a dog, which was really funny and very memorable. And then as we caught up with the group, one of my other friends was struggling with heat exhaustion. And I was just able to stay behind with her and kind of help her. And the chaperones were helping her and our guides were helping her. And it was just,
it was memorable.
It was very memorable. It was very refining.
And then wasn't it that once you actually got to your boat, the tide was so low that you had a really hard time getting your boat out to actually get on the river.
Yeah. So we had a main boat and then three, we had to, there was a smaller boat that had to take three trips to get all the people because it was so narrow and the tide was so low. And there was a certain time that we were supposed to be back by and we were about an hour late because of the delay. And so everyone was super worried that they were going to leave. And we managed to get two trips of the boat before we had issues. And then on the last trip, the chaperones and the leaders had to push the boat because the tide was so low.
If you have a big event coming up that you need to get a nice outfit for, and you are dreading having to do the shopping for it, and also you're like, oh, I don't want to spend a whole bunch of money, well, I've got a solution for you. Armoire is a clothing rental service and they have such great clothes to choose from. Here's the thing, you go on their website and you get to take a survey that is going to really help you define your style. And you can also tell them if you're looking for something specific. So if you're looking for dresses, a type of dress, formal dresses, office wear, whatever it is, maybe you're looking for casual clothes, I don't know, but you can tell them what you're looking for. And then they are going to curate this closet for you of items to choose from. And then you choose which ones you want to rent and they ship them right to your door. So you don't even have to go in store and try things on. I was so impressed with what they sent me. They nailed my style and also they nailed my size, which I find very difficult to do. I can go to the mall and try on item after item after item after item, and rarely do I find things that fit me really well. But almost everything they sent fit me perfectly. In fact, I had to send back my bag of the clothes that I had rented, and I was really sad to part with it because some of the things in it I had worn so many times that I really didn't want to give them up because I love them so much. In fact, I was like, should I just go ahead and purchase this? Which is an option that they offer as well. But if you'd like to try out this clothing rental service, right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/crystal. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/crystal to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart, and I feel like I need to preface what I'm going to say with this. I'm a huge advocate of breastfeeding. Anyone who knows me well knows that nursing is something I believe in, and all five of our biological children were breastfed until they were 19 to 23 months old. However, we also have fostered and adopted, and I've been so grateful for formula companies in those situations. I'm also grateful for formula companies because our last two biological children, I really struggled with my supply and did all the things, spent so much time and effort, and just was never able to produce enough for them to be able to gain weight and not be hungry. And so I was so grateful for companies like ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. They're made with certified clean ingredients. It has no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code CRYSTAL for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. So go to byheart.com/podcast and use CRYSTAL to get your welcome offer.
So then you get back, sleep, get up the next morning, take a boat to Singapore. And it was probably kind of a bit of a night and day difference between where you were staying in Indonesia and then Singapore. Is that correct?
Yes. The hotel, I've never stayed at that nice of a hotel before. It's amazing. The food was amazing. Everyone is so nice. But Singapore is just a dream. It's amazing. It's very different from Indonesia, super rich. Everyone is extremely wealthy. And
it's very expensive to live there.
Very expensive to live there. It's very modern. Everything is super modern because it's so new. And
did you see any part that was poorer or run down? Did they have sections, or everything was modern and nice?
And everything's super clean. There's no trash cans anywhere because they're so strict about things. You can't chew gum. You can't have gum. They don't sell gum anywhere. They only sell mints. It's very interesting.
What if they don't have trash cans? Do people not have trash? What do they do?
I don't know.
Like, didn't you go to a fast food restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
What did they serve your stuff on?
They serve it on reusable things.
And then you put it back?
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't ever have takeout?
And you have to put them back or else you'll get fined.
So you wouldn't have takeout because you couldn't take it out?
Nope.
Interesting. Well, it reminds me of, I was thinking of when we went to Rome and we just wanted to get a coffee. And it was so hard to find a place that would, they call it takeaway coffee, because everybody drinks out of real mugs. Mm-hmm. And you just go in there and you drink your coffee, and the coffee shops, people just come in and they do it quickly. They come in, they drink their coffee right there in the coffee shop, but it's kind of a communal thing. But you wouldn't just go in and get coffee in a cardboard cup and take it away. Like, that's just not what people do there. And so that's just really interesting. We live in a very, I feel like, consumeristic, trash creating,
wasteful, extremely wasteful
society. So then in Singapore, you got to go to a school there. Yes. And then did you go, you went to church?
Mm-hmm.
You went to an international church?
Yes.
What was that like?
I really liked the service. I thought it was great. The school was also really interesting because it was an international school. To preface, one of the students in my grade who I'm friends with used to live in Singapore and was a missionary there. And so that's kind of why we went, because he had so many connections and we got to go to his old school, and that was really cool, and see all his old friends, because he was kind of forced to move back without saying goodbye because of COVID.
Mm.
And so it was really cool to see him just...
Like, did it give him some closure, you feel like?
Yes, he talked about that.
Were a lot of the students that were there the students that he had gone to school with?
Not really, because he's a senior.
Okay.
There were a lot of people in his grade who he knew, and some younger kids who he had connections with. But other than that, I'm not really sure.
But the teachers?
Yeah, he knew a lot of the faculty.
Okay. And so you went to the international church, and so... Were there lots of different ethnicities represented at the church?
No, not really.
So why was it called an international church?
I don't know.
So there weren't that. I mean, I was just thinking the international school was where, like, they were missionaries there. They're from the U.S. and he went to that school. So I would assume that there would be other kids at that school that maybe.
The school was very diverse. Okay. Because it's a lot of. To call like third culture kids.
So it would be, I would assume that in Singapore, there'd be a lot of people from different countries that would come there to work, maybe for shorter
mm-hmm.
time periods because of the technology and things like that. And so maybe you'd go there for 2 years or something. And so your child would go to the international school while they were there. But so the church was not diverse like that.
Not really, no.
So it was mostly just people from Singapore.
Yes.
Okay. So then you went to the church, you went to the school, and then you got to experience just some things in Singapore. Tell us about that.
We went to the zoo. The zoo was really cool. It's huge. And there's just monkeys everywhere. You can get really close to all the animals, which I was surprised. They have all sorts of animals and everything is just big. It's huge. It was really hot, but it was really cool because we have a really nice zoo, but I've never been to that big of a zoo. I think they said it compares to the San Diego Zoo, which I know is like the best zoo ever.
And then you got to go up on a rooftop to a rooftop restaurant or something at night.
Yes. So there's this huge hotel. It's very iconic. It's called Marina Bay Sands, and it has like three pillars. And then at the top, it has this boat looking thing, and you can go up to the top. They were worried that we wouldn't be able to get to go because I think they had to pull some strings. It's not easy. You have to pay a lot of money. And they also said we had to be dressed nice because they wanted to make sure that we were able to get in. But they pulled some strings and managed to get us to go to the top. If anyone's ever seen Crazy Rich Asians, that's set in Singapore. And so all the places that they went there, we got to see. So we went to Marina Bay Sands. And then right next to that, they have these things called the Super Trees. And those are also in Crazy Rich Asians. And there's just these giant light up trees and they do a light show. And we were able to sit under them and watch the light show. And it was really cool. It's something that you can't really describe. You just kind of have to go and see it. And the pictures don't do it justice. It's really amazing.
So are they electronic trees? They're not actual trees.
No, they're not actual trees.
But they're huge.
They're giant.
Because I saw pictures of them. And then you also got to go shopping in a shopping district.
Mm-hmm. So we went to Chinatown. And there's also a mall attached to our hotel. So there was a Starbucks right there, which was very convenient. Singapore has the best chai I've ever had in my life. And I'm a chai snob. And I think that Starbucks had the best iced chai I've ever had in my entire life. So I have to go back.
And then you said that you had eaten some interesting foods when you were in Singapore.
Mm-hmm. So that night we went to a little food district. And basically all the times that we ate out there, it would be just a bunch of, I don't know how to describe it. It's like
Little stalls or were they?
Yeah, it's like a
food court.
So it's kind of like a food court where there's a bunch of options for food and then a bunch of chairs and tables and you sit down and you can go to all the different places and try the different foods. And I ate a lot of dumplings while I was there. I ate a lot of fried dumplings and steamed dumplings because they're supposed to be really good. And that night I decided to try stingray. Me and my buddy split the bill and we split the stingray and it was really good. I liked it.
And I'm assuming with all of these things, even then in the food court, it's all on reusable plates and mm-hmm. all of that. So you have to then take it back to whatever and put it in some kind of dish pan.
Mm-hmm.
We could never, I mean, it's just interesting to think of teenagers in America. How would they be able to do that?
I also found myself being very aware of even like accidentally littering. There was one time that I accidentally dropped a piece of paper on the ground that was from a piece of candy. And I was like, oh, I need to grab that because they will fine you money for that.
And I was also thinking how if you have real plates and cups and silverware, you're not going to eat in your car probably.
Nope.
Like no one's going to take food and eat it somewhere. They're going to sit down and eat. And it's going to kind of help you to actually sit down and eat.
Mm-hmm. And that's good. But I will say that in Singapore, people are on their phones a lot more than in America. And I was surprised by that because people will just be sitting in that food court and they'll be sitting across from their friend and they'll both just be sitting there on their phones while eating. And it's everybody. And it was kind of, I was surprised by it, by how just common it was. And it wasn't just a few people, it's literally everybody.
Interesting. As you think about the trip as a whole, what is something that you're going to take with you that you're going to remember for years to come?
Definitely the relationships that I made on the trip. I got really close with a lot of people who I was kind of friends with, but then just being on that island together and in forced proximity because all the girls were in one room and sharing one bathroom. And so that's going to kind of force you to become best friends with everybody. And it was really fun. It got to the point where it just felt like one big sleepover. And I think what stuck out to me a lot was the difference financially and how Singapore's so flourishing with money and wealth. And then less than an hour away, there's this remote fishing village where they have almost nothing, but they're 10 times happier than those people are in Singapore with all of their money.
Interesting. Well, I know one of the things that you said is Dad had sent money with you that was the local currency, and you realized as they were talking and sharing about how much people on that island make per month, that wasn't it the money that he had sent with you is just spending money.
Yeah.
Would supply electricity for the entire village for a month. Isn't that what you said?
Yeah.
And it kind of just gave you some perspective. So I think sometimes having those stark contrasts can be so helpful and just a good reminder. you know, it's fun to have those experiences, but also to remember that, you know, I think of just the reason why we are careful with our money, the reason why we don't just spend every dollar that we make, because we want to live intentionally with our money so that we can be in a place to be able to give generously and not just think of money as something to make me happy. Because like you saw, even though these people in Singapore had so much and kind of the world at their fingertips through their phone, they clearly, you know, we can't speak for all of them, but if you just see them head down on their phone, you're like, what are they trying to kind of fill in their heart with just scrolling on their phone? That maybe the people in the village who had nothing almost could teach them and teach all of us that it's not stuff that's going to buy you happiness. It's not being able to just scroll endlessly that's going to fill up that hole in your heart. Mm-hmm. And so I think just to getting to experience that. And also I was thinking, you got stretched in different things. You know, you talked about the hike and how there was just a lot of stuff that happened that you probably were just like, I'd rather just sit down and be done and I want to go get in my bed. But you didn't, you couldn't, you know, you had mm-hmm. to keep going. It just is a good reminder when sometimes like, I can't keep going. I don't have anything left in me, but pushing through and doing those really hard things later on in life, when maybe you're hitting some situation where it's really hard again, you can look back and remember that hike. We remember the getting stranded in San Francisco and how it ended up all working out and ended up being a good thing. But I also think the relationships that you talked about, when you walk through these hard things or these challenging things or these fun things or these really memorable things and you're doing it with other people, those are the relationships that, you know, someday when maybe you won't see some of these people after you graduate for a few years or something, but you'll run into them somewhere and you'll be like, remember when we were in Singapore? Remember mm-hmm. when we were in Indonesia? Like you will carry with you these special memories that you made with these other teenagers and with the adults there, that it's something that no one else experienced.
Yeah. And I, the entire time we were there, the word refined just kept coming to my mind. And I was like, this is all just a refining experience. We're going to come out of this so much more faithful and appreciative than we were before. And we were, the whole week we were reading through Philippians, and there's one chapter that talks about do everything, don't be complaining, don't complain about things. And that's kind of what I went into the trip thinking and really meditating on, is not complaining. I didn't want to complain. And I think I did pretty good. It was hard at first, definitely hard. I know I definitely complained to you in that first night that we were in the airport, and I felt just so lost and frustrated, and I was tired. And I thought the entire trip is going to be like this. If it's starting out like this, it's going to be a really hard trip. But then the very next day, I was up on my feet and I was so excited to go serve these people and be a part of their community and experience all the experiences that we had.
Yeah. And I definitely saw that, you know, Dad and I knew that this was going to be something that was going to be stretching for you. Anytime you travel internationally, anytime you travel with a group of people, there's going to be hard things. And especially if you're all staying in the same room, you're all exhausted, you're all dealing with jet lag and all of that. But I just loved that you had such a good attitude. And I talked to you many times throughout the trip because you kept calling me, which I loved. And just your attitude. And I think this is just something that it's kind of this marker experience they're going to look back on for years to come and just remember what you walked through and the challenges that you faced, and that it ended up being this really great trip. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing about your trip and sharing the lessons that you learned. I really appreciate it. I know I learned and gleaned from you, and I'm sure everyone else listening did as well. I just love my kids. I love getting to share them with you. I love getting to have them on the podcast, and I love getting to have these conversations and learn from them. There was so much that Caitlin shared that she hadn't shared with me before. And I think giving her a little bit of time between when she came home and then us sitting down and talking, for her to then kind of capture in her mind and process so that she was able to share the takeaways. Also, I wanted to mention to you that we have a brand new product, if you didn't hear last week, called 10 Weeks to a More Organized Home. And this is a product that I specifically designed with you in mind. If you are a woman, or I mean, if you're a man who feels overwhelmed with life, who feels like, I just wish someone would help me figure out how to get more order and organization in my life. I don't have time to think about it, to figure it out, but I know that I need it. This is a simple step-by-step plan with very bite-sized projects. So even if you only have a few minutes a day, you can do this. In fact, each day there's just one simple project and I break it down step by step by step. And if you don't even have the time to do that one simple project, we actually condense it down even more so that there is a 5-minute project. So that project is condensed down into 5 minutes. So even if you just do the 10 weeks and do the 5-minute project every day, you are going to see some marked change in your home and in your life. This product is available and we're going to offer a special discount code for my podcast listeners only. Use coupon code podcast and you're going to get it for just $9. So go to the link in the show notes and check it out. All the details are there. I'm so excited for hearing how this is going to impact your life, how this is going to help you have more peace, more space in your home and in your day to be able to really invest in what matters. And if you need some accountability to work through the projects, I am working through the 10 Weeks to a More Organized Life program over on my new Instagram account, Crystal is Cleaning. And so follow me there. And then every day I share a little video of whatever area in the house, whatever project I'm working on in our house in real time, you can see and then hopefully be inspired and work alongside me through the internet with doing these projects. And hopefully it just helps to motivate you. A few minutes a day can add up to significant difference over time.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.